Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, we are one quick week into our new lives. And by that, I mean our new lives as coffee tycoons. I have already been down to Honduras, where I've walked through the groves of coffee, kind of gently inspecting each plant, each bean. I'm kind of enjoying this new life as a coffee tycoon, coffee entrepreneur. And by that, I mean, you need to visit happyrantpodcast.com and order up some bags of Lagares Roasters, Happy Rant, blend. Heck so damn, Happy Lagares. Rant signature blend. Go Hector there, Lagares. Enjoy it. Yeah. The work of one Hector Lagares, the handiwork of one Hector Lagares, who has roasted these beans with love and is shipping them directly and exclusively to Happy Rant listeners. So this is a premium that's only available. Pipe loves that it's dark and acidic.
I do.
I love that it's fruity. I don't know what that means exactly, but
I think it speaks.
But
itself.
It is wonderful coffee.
Baby, riff for a minute on your trip to Honduras. I mean, did we accommodate you well? I mean, with the rant, you know, budget that we gave you to go down there and take care of our coffee dreams.
Yeah, you know, the private plane was nice, man. I'm not gonna lie. I actually borrowed Creflo Dollar's private plane to go down there, so it was nicely stocked with Mission Aware Happy Rant swag. So. I kind of
Creflo is always generous with us.
He's always generous. So I kind of swaddled up in the Happy Rant sweatshirt and sipped some Lagares Roasters coffee out of the 64-ounce Yeti tumbler, and had a nice time in Honduras.
Oh, dude, nice. why is Cref the bomb? Why is he so good to us, Big T?
Cref's the bomb. Cref's our dude, man. He's good people.
Well, we've never said anything negative about him, so he does love us.
Creflo Lagares.
No, don't.
No.
Maybe don't impugn the name of Hector Lagares in that fashion. Hector is.
I just slipped. I slipped.
Dude, my God, man.
I slipped.
So, yeah.
Give Hector my condolences.
You know, it's
I mean, my apologies. Sorry.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Big R, because this is kind of the etiquette episode. So you have breached some very sensitive etiquette here. And
which was obviously done on purpose to introduce our topic.
That's right. To introduce a segue, so I want to talk about etiquette, and I want to lead us into this with some publishing industry etiquette. And Pipe, you have recently dropped a new book, which I just received in the mail, and I'm excited to read it. It's called The Curious Christian, and it looks terrific. But you recently got a negative review, and I want you to tell us what happened in the wake of that.
Right. So there's a bit of a thought process behind this. So in the past. I decided that I would share negative reviews when they came up because everybody shares positive reviews about their stuff. And
sure.
Negative reviews can be really, really entertaining because oftentimes – I mean sometimes they're fair. You know, somebody has a fair criticism. Sometimes they're absurd. But this one made me laugh because they used made-up words to describe my book. Mm-hmm. They called it meh and droney, which – I found really, really funny. So I posted this on Twitter and on Facebook, and I linked back to the review, and I was like, this review is amazing. And so people begin interacting with it, and there was a couple people, you know, the very sincere types, who were like, I'm so sorry. I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. Don't give up. And most people found it funny as well. I go back a couple days later, and the review has disappeared. So – whoever left it apparently deleted it because it's nearly impossible to get a review taken off of Amazon. I mean, they could call you, you know, the next Hitler and Amazon wouldn't take it down. So this reviewer did not do that, just to clarify. So I thought, oh, they must have seen some of this buzz and felt bad and taken it down. And nobody was like attacking them. It just – I was like, oh, okay, they took it down. So today I get an email at work from one of our people who oversees our customer service department at Lifeway, because I published it through B&H, who's the publishing branch of Lifeway. And this – they had received a call from a person who was incredibly upset at me because I had instigated the bullying of this reviewer and forced them to take it down, which meant two things. One, you could not trust any of the product reviews on my books because they're dishonest, because I have this habit of bullying people. And two, John Piper's son should be held to a different standard than that. Those were their comments. So I'd like to say two things. One is, if that reviewer felt bullied, I didn't mean it that way. You can say anything negative you want about my book. I just found it funny. And second, I have to admit, guys, from the deepest, darkest parts of my soul, I got really, really annoyed at the John Piper's son should be held to a different standard comment.
Now, what specifically about that annoyed you, Pipe? I mean, I agree that it's deeply and manifestly annoying, but what was it about it for you?
Well, it seems to me that if that is a standard that exists, that one should not bully reviewers, or in my case, make a joke about a review that might be perceived by an oversensitive person as bullying, then that is a standard for any author, not just John Piper's son. But they, I mean, it was like a tag on line at the end where they like wrote these two paragraphs and then they were like, oh, and John Piper's son should know better, or something along those lines.
Oh, they pulled the oh and on you.
It was something, I love it. It was something very, yeah, it was very oh and sort of a one more thing before I leave this devastating comment here. I really didn't want to bully anybody. That's a sincere statement. I was not trying to do that. I do find negative reviews entertaining. Sometimes they're helpful. But that comment made me that very much annoyed me. And so I'm mainly just saying this for catharsis. This is me having a chance to get this off of my chest, to feel better, to have you guys tell me, like, am I out of bounds here? Did I step out of line? Whatever I need to hear.
This is an outrage, Piper.
Where's the outrage?
Big R, what do you think?
This is an outrage. No, I think, what do you think, Big T?
It's like wow, ping pong over here. That's a hot take.
Hard-hitting commentary from Ronald J. Martin. He's not exhausted from just, doing his tournament bracket, allegedly. Pipe, here's what I think about negative reviews. I think if you're the kind of person who writes a negative review, you be ready for whatever happens to you in the aftermath. And usually it's nothing. But I've been known to go after negative reviewers. And by go after, I mean I read the reviews out loud in a funny way. And we have some ha-has about them.
We used to do that on this podcast. We used to make it a point to go find one star.
You know what? If that's bullying, then I guess we're all bullies. We're all big meanies, I don't want to live in a world where I can't have some ha-has at the expense of my own negative review.
That's right.
Without being called a bully about
it. I mean, it's not like I was laughing at somebody else's crappy book. I was laughing at a review of my book. I wrote the thing. If somebody says something negative, I feel like I should be able to get a chuckle out of it.
But you're the bully? Well, why aren't they the bully? Because they didn't say kind things about your book,
Yeah, to be fair, I also did not feel bullied because I understand that in the world of digital commerce, it's sort of an open forum for people to say whatever they want and share their opinions. And in general, it works. Like, it's a good system for telling you people what is good and what is not.
It is what it is. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But boys, we have some other etiquette issues to discuss, and Yeah, these are huge. They're really, really big issues. And guys, I want to talk about this thing that we've all probably experienced. And it's people, sometimes it's pastors. I feel like more often it might be pastors. But it's people who, if they're at a restaurant, they will call their server by name. So, for example, let's say the server's name is Bev. They'll be like, Bev, I'd love another glass of sweet tea. Or Bev, how are you today?
Yes.
Boys, how do we feel about that, man? How does that strike you? Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it awkward? Is it not awkward? What are we looking at here?
I just feel, I feel like it's so condescending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at some point it's going to be like, Bev, can I get another one of these? You know what I mean? It's like, it's like to say their name.
It's like having a house staff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
almost like you're snapping your fingers at them.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to snap your fingers at a waiter or a waitress, but you're allowed to say their name. And I feel like saying their name is the new equiv of snapping your fingers at them. And it just
you're dressing her like you know.
Yes.
Like you know something about her, like you care about her life or like her kids, and you don't. Yeah.
Like, hey, Katie, it's great to be here with you at this restaurant today.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys notice that the people who do this overuse the name? So it's not just that, like, I don't address you as Ronnie every time I start a sentence in your direction, Ronnie. But if I did, it would be just like being one of these restaurants, because it would be like, Katie, can I have another water? Katie, that would be great. Thanks so much, Katie. And all in the space of 7 seconds. And it's
it sounds like a scene from Office Space, smarmy.
I've got kind of a high concept question for you, so stay with me. This might be a little wacky, but given the pantheon of kind of reformed stars that we move in, which one of these guys do you think would make the best server? So if one of these celebrity pastors had to make a living for a week waiting tables at like a Cracker Barrel, right? So they're wearing like the brown smock and they're waiting tables at Cracker Barrel. Who amongst these reformed superstars could like hold their own in that environment for a week?
It's hard to imagine any pastor doing that. That's why they ended up front where all they have to do is talk.
These guys are leaders. These guys are visionaries. These guys are like reading presidential biographies as they
fall asleep. They're clearly not servants. So yeah, we can't imagine any of them in this
Churchill.
Wait a minute. Who came up with this idea of church leaders serving? That's absurd. What a nonsense concept.
Well, I guess the question is like who. Okay, so let's phrase it like this, Big T, to put a kind of a flip on it. It's like who would you? Well, you're saying this anyway, but who would you love to be served by?
Who would you want to be your server and why?
Yes, who would you want to be your server?
Well, I would want to be served by Stephen Furtick, but that doesn't seem likely.
Stephen Furtick is the kind of guy who would like crouch down by your table. And he'd stay a little bit too long.
He'd just slide into the booth next to you in that one open seat.
He'd slide into the booth.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you heard about our specials,
let me tell you about our craft beer list.
He'd ask for your name.
Yeah. Just so I can get to know you a little bit better.
Just so I can baptize you, you know, abruptly back.
That's
in,
right.
In,
I'm going to spontaneously
kitchen.
Baptize yep. you in the
exactly.
D.A. Carson would have to work at one of those theme places like Ed DeBevick's, where you get to be really mean and aloof to the diners. You know,
it's so true. I feel like Tim Keller would forget the order. You know,
dude, he'd forget the order, but you'd still give him a huge tip because of just
he would just
like
be a nice guy.
Insightful he was.
I feel you like know? David yeah, Platt see? Would crush it as a waiter because he would take it so seriously. And he would go out of his
like
way
Brian
to not
from
think
Tchotchke's
that he's special.
On Office Space.
What's that?
He'd be like Brian from Tchotchke's on Office Space. Yes. Have you seen Office Space?
How many pieces of flair is he wearing?
Exactly. He'd be that guy.
I can see it.
Either him or Matt Chandler. Just like super amped. Like super amped to be there. Like super hyped and stoked.
Well, here's the thing.
You know who I like, man?
Chandler would be the guy, if you said, what's the best thing on the menu, he would list everything.
Yeah,
he'd be like, everything here is amazing. You have to try the burgers. I mean, the salads are incredible. Like, the fish is out of this world. I mean, stay with me now. The soup is just bonkers. And we've got this –
you tracking with me?
Yeah, you tracking with me? The sirloin is incredible. It's this black Angus beef. That would be Matt Chandler as a waiter. It would be it would be an experience.
Well, ironically enough, here's the waiter I always get anyway. So the waiter for me, because I get this guy inevitably every time, obviously would be CJ Mahaney, because this is a dude that inevitably takes one look at me and I have no idea why, holding his little paper and would just say like, so who you got tonight for the big one? And I'm looking at him going, when you say big one in tonight, like seriously, I don't even know what you're talking about, dude.
Dude, and he's asking you that for one reason. It's because you're a man and you live in Ohio. He just assumes that you're conversant.
Obviously, if I say anything other than would he think that I would be going for anybody other than the Buckeyes anyway?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just
say the
it always cracks me up. So who are you going with tonight? And it's like, what do you mean by going with? What does that even mean, CJ?
Dude,
go back to your podcast and serve me some bison.
All kidding aside, I think Mahaney's would be a good waiter, man. He's personable.
I think he'd be good.
I think Rick Warren would crush it as a waiter. He's got that
He'd be great. The combination of
like really friendly but not overly talkative. I think he would get a lot of very large tips for his excellent service.
How do you think Drisky would do as a waiter?
Oh, dude, he would be so angry and miserable and just like just one of those guys that's like looking over your head the whole time.
How dare you order that?
He doesn't want to be there.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he brings a plate and just sort of like slams them down on the table and the eggs like slide up off the side. And he just dumps water from 4 feet above the table. He's wearing no pieces of flair.
How would at Jared C. Wilson do as a waiter?
Oh, I see. I think he would just be one of those guys that's like it would just take you forever to get your food.
He'd try to be the show. You know what? He would cozy up. He'd tell like one too many jokes. You know, he'd try to be the show.
The funny thing is he's really unassuming in person. Like his internet personality, or the side of him that comes out on the internet is much more forceful and outspoken.
You would never know. They're like the two people are complete. Like his internet Jared C. Wilson and his real Jared C. Wilson are completely different, man.
He would be my favorite kind of waiter because he's the kind who takes your order and gets your food and doesn't talk. Like he would just do the job. And it would be the money.
Yeah, he wouldn't say a word. Yeah. He'd be like the shy waiter where you're like – you're kind of like you're almost wishing he would say something to at least acknowledge that he got your order. You know, like he'd be that guy.
He'd just nod.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the kind of guy who about whom you ask your wife, like, is he coming back? Did he forget?
Right. I'd be like, dude, is at Jared C. Wilson coming back? I mean, he's
tweeted 14 times since I ordered my salad. But
like he's tweeted my order 8 times. He has a theological issue with my order. But like am I going to get my order is the question.
Exactly.
You know. Exactly.
Boys, what about this one? What about this? This is kind of another step along this etiquette journey of how we interact with servers. What about pastors that ask their server how they can pray for them?
Hold me back, guys. Hold me back.
No, I don't want to hold you back. I'd like you to go get this one. Have fun.
Oh, dude, I don't even know what to say. I can't even. I mean, it is my can't even moment. I mean, when I'm sitting with dudes and they look up at the waitress, and it's usually a waitress, it's never a waiter. It has never happened once with me with a waiter. It's always a waitress. And I'm sitting there going, this is that moment in which I wish I was dead. I mean, it's like, please, why are you
hiding
asking?
Hiding under the table isn't even good enough.
Right. It's not. It's like, why are you asking this poor woman like what we need to ask her to pray for? I mean, it just to me, like in the pantheon of like missional, you know, reformed, just Christianity, I don't know where that fits into the picture in the program. It's to me, it's like one of the worst things you can possibly do.
And it's Pipe, where are you at on this?
Oh, I'm right there with Ronnie. I would also like to be deceased in those moments. That's just
and why, okay, so Pipe, what is that? Because I just feel like, you know what it is? I feel like we are humiliating this poor woman. That's what I feel like we're doing.
Well, it's
is that fair?
I mean, if learning the name is condescending, then this feels a lot like if you know, you watch movies from like that are set in the Middle Ages, you know, where the priest shows up and they basically just expect people to ask them for a blessing, like, what can I bless you with? And then they like sprinkle water or like cross them or whatever. That's what this feels like. It's like, and how can I bless you with my extra dose of spiritualism today? And it is so strange. And I think it's a pastor's effort to be like human and relational. But it's very like – it's so out of touch with humanity because that's not how human beings relate. So you just want to go like, Pastor, that's a really weird thing to do. Don't
– Well, yeah, most pastors are introverts. Most pastors are a little socially awkward. That is what I've found in my experience. So that all makes sense. But what you're doing is it's like being in that moment with somebody where you ask them a question that takes them so off guard, because every time they get asked that, it's literally like you got your fork and like jabbed it into their like knee really quickly, because they don't know how to – they don't have a comeback. They don't know what to say.
And you know? you've put them in a spot too where – I mean, so here's the worst part is that the pastors who do this are always like, they tell their congregation, you guys should do this because like nobody's ever going to say no to you. I've never had somebody turn me down. Yeah, that's because they're trying not to get – not to be a jerk and to get a tip. Like they're not going to be like,
they're
no,
still your
get
server.
Out of here.
Yeah.
I mean if you've – because I bet you don't ask them if you can pray for them after you've paid. In which case they'd probably be more comfortable being like, nope, don't need prayer. Got your tip.
So one time somebody did it. I was with somebody and they did it. And the woman was, I'm telling you, she was so ready for it. She literally just very pleasantly like looked at this dude and said, no, thank you. What else can I get you? Just boom.
Like shut it down.
Did you high five her?
Shut
did you like,
it
did
down.
You like leave an extra 20 on the table just to be like, thank you?
Well, no, because I mean, I don't know what D.A. Carson was going to do in that moment. I mean, I didn't want to like make a scene, you know?
Okay, so you know. which of the pastors of the known ones are most likely to do this thing?
Yes. Big T, what do you think, man? What's your
most
game?
Likely to do this thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to say
I'm going to say for sure Stephen Furtick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Ferdy. Who's the kid with the crew cut that we said like his wife probably cuts his hair?
Platt?
The real passionate guy.
Platty. Yeah.
I think Platty might do this because
Platty would
feel low grade guilty about like going out to dinner and like wasting the money, and so he might try to like redeem it by like winning a soul while
Platty's going to do it, and then like by the end of the dinner like this chick's literally like already got like a one way trip to like
she's going to Africa.
The Congo on a missions trip, you know.
She's going to the Congo, she's become a believer. She's turned her life around. She's cried.
She now knows what the 1040 window is.
She knows what the 1040 window is, and she's on her way, man. Absolutely.
She's radical.
She's radical. Pipe, who do you think would be most?
Oh, Mark Dever is hands down the prayingest of all pastors for the wait staff. It's guaranteed.
Why do you say Dever?
He is.
You've been with him. He's done it.
Yeah. Well, no, but he is. He's a really, you know, he preaches and he's very sort of mellow and cut and dry, and he's not real gregarious. He's a really gregarious person, though. Like really sort of bubbly, outgoing personality. And he's like, if there are people who have sort of the gift and the tendency towards evangelism, he's that guy. So he's going to engage everybody in conversation. Except here's the thing. He's one of those guys who it doesn't feel nearly as weird. You more look at it and kind of go that. I mean, it's like watching LeBron James play basketball, because you look at it and you go, that's not a normal human being thing to do, except that he's good enough at it that it doesn't feel as out of place. But here's what I don't think he would do. I don't think he would just spend the whole meal asking them for refills on Diet Coke and you know, can we get some more ranch dressing and whatever else, and then just like spring the prayer thing on them. He would have developed like a full-on relationship with the waiter by the end of a, you know, 90-minute dinner.
Dude, you're just saying like it's
you
genuine.
Know about their family situation.
Yeah, and just like how's your day, and just sort of like accept it's people interaction, not like this weird like Jesus juke bait and switch, now you get my tip kind of thing.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. What do you think about
these famous guys that we know, who do you think would be most likely to like special order something or order something off the menu and make it complicated in a way that it would make the wait staff's life miserable?
Oh.
Carson.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah.
Carson.
Yeah. I mean,
what's the order?
Oh,
what's Carson getting at a restaurant, man?
Oh man, he strikes me as the kind of guy who would go in with a meal in mind, and if they don't have it on the menu, he would be like, "Can you guys make this?"
And like, then I want just, beef Wellington. Like, I have to have beef Wellington.
And just walk them through, and they're like, "What is that? This is an Irish pub. What is that?
Pub. This is a fish taco place."
And he's
"You're not going to get the salmon here.
I really want rigatoni at this Irish pub." And so, like, walks them.
I really want Canadian rigatoni. Dude, how would Mahaney be? Would Mahaney's be? I feel like Mahaney's might be the can I pray for you guy. What do you think, Big T?
I don't know. I've hung with Mahaney's.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm asking.
Mahaney's is he'll banter with the wait staff. He's a banter guy, and he'll be friendly.
Sure.
I don't want to say almost too friendly, because I like Mahaney's, and he always pulls it off. He always makes it work well, but like friendlier than like I would be. you know. And I don't know, though. I don't know if he would go the can-I-pray-for-you route. But if the friendliness, like, kind of led him there naturally, I bet he would do it.
I mean, Big T, we've been out – I mean, we've been out, like, numerous times together. And I would say that, like – I would say that we're pro-friendly. So we're not saying, like, don't be pro-friendly. But there's, like – there's, like, a – yeah, we're definitely pro-friendly. But, like, there's a line, right, where you're, like, friendly and you're just courteous and you, yeah. like, appreciate their service to where – or and there's a difference between you turn this corner and it's like you're trying to be like you're trying to pull like this BFF thing with them, which like I never understand why people try to like what's the end game with that? What's the end game with BFFing like the waiter or the waitress?
Yeah, like what are you doing? Do you want to hang out? Are you going to like exchange numbers? You know,
but, yeah, but I mean, like, let's say you're traveling out of town, you're never going to see this person again, most likely. So yeah. like, yeah. why like the overindulgence of like. Of like friendliness to where it doesn't even look friendly anymore. It looks like it looks strange.
It looks yeah. That it looks, I don't get. It's more like like hitting on them or seducing them.
Right.
Than it is being
you've
friendly.
Kind of made it about yourself almost. Yeah. Like I don't know if and then I wonder this like do they just do it because they're with you and they're trying to like sort of like you know seal their rep around you as being like world's most friendly guy or is it like
yeah it's almost like they're performing for you.
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm saying. But like would they do it if they were alone? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they were sitting alone
yeah.
in the restaurant.
I travel for work a fair amount, which means I end up eating at restaurants by myself. And the thought of being that like conversational with a waiter or a waitress by myself is so weird. Whereas, I mean, if there's a group of five people and there's a bit of banter, that's a little different. But then it's multiple people chiming in and not one person who's like calling her honey and essentially,
totally.
You know, being over the top. But so I have another restaurant question. Speaking of pastors, what is the appropriate length for a pre-meal prayer at a restaurant?
Dude. Shorter the better.
Yeah. Or skip it. Can we go
or
with
skip
that
it?
One?
That's skip impossible. It. It's never going to be skipped.
Dude, everybody knows that we're thankful for the meal,
but,
you know?
Okay, but I'm interested in Ronnie's take on this because I bet pastors feel like there's an obligation that if they're sitting down, like they have to either volunteer somebody to pray, be like, oh, why don't you lead us? You're in the middle of the table. Or they have to pray themselves. True, Ronnie?
Okay. Well, let me break that down a minute because this is the – okay, I'm so glad you said that, Pipe. And I'm going to address your question, but here let's talk about the weird nuance of that. I think one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen is you get like a few dudes that sit down. They don't do the group prayer, but like one of them just puts their head down quietly for like 30 seconds and doesn't say anything as if they're praying independently for their own meal. And that to me is baffling to me. Like I've never understood that one.
That
you guys with me? Are you still there?
Yeah, and what you realize
are you just
is that
stunned?
What you realize is what they're actually doing is looking down at like their text messages in their lap, and then everybody else is like, well, "Oh, dude. I guess we're praying."
Well, that's what I want to know. It's like you guys have just made our little shindig, our little togetherness here, as awkward as if we're going to ask the waitress if she needs anything for us to pray for her about. You know?
Yeah.
But to address your other thing, it's I like it to be in context, right? So if you're in like a super noisy restaurant where you can't hear anybody anyway, I would say, you know, yeah, let's just we're good. Let's just eat respectably amongst ourselves. And then the other thing too, this is what's weird to me too. If you're in a restaurant that's really quiet, and then you get somebody that kind of makes a spectacle out of themselves praying for the group, but it's loud enough to where everybody hears. Like I just like again, it's just making it about yourself at the end of the day. Right?
Yes, I am all for.
Boys, why do I keep silencing you? I'm bad.
Well, it's because when you start talking about prayer, I just fold my hands and close my eyes and wait for somebody to say amen. but no, so working at a Christian company, you know, we'll go out to lunch with coworkers, and there's this thing where like the food comes, and you know, half the people get their food once, and then everybody will just sit there and like stare at their food, and I can never tell. Are they being polite in the let's wait till everybody gets our food before we dive in, or are they like we can't touch this food until it's been properly blessed?
That's it right there.
And I think it's the latter a lot of the time. And I'm always just like, no, like your enchiladas are getting cold. By all means, dig in. I'm not offended.
Okay, do you know what? Okay, so Pipe, you know what I do now? Like, I literally, like, I don't mess around because I know if I'm with a group of dudes of which not praying would be unacceptable. I get it, you know. I literally just, I do this. Two people will have their meal. I say, guys, let me pray. I pray. It's about 10 seconds. I just thank the Lord for his grace, for our food. Amen. Eat. We're good.
Do you use the phrase, bless this food to our bodies?
No.
Which is one of the most meaningless phrases in the English language.
I rarely mention the food. I just say, Lord, thanks for you, and we're glad to be here, and then we're done.
I would just, you know? A word of encouragement to pastors. When the food comes, just dig in, because nothing shows you're thankful more than enjoying the food. Wasting 17 minutes with a loud prayer that makes the restaurant feel awkward doesn't make anybody thankful.
Yeah, the law. Okay, so that we didn't really address that. Like, you asked, like, how long should the prayer be? And I feel like literally a guy that just starts praying and then, like, starts taking prayer requests around the table while everybody's waiting to eat. I mean, you still see that happen, not as much.
It's the sermon prayer where, like, you start off with thank you for this food, and then it's thank you for this fellowship, and then it's thank you for the fellowship of Christ, and then it's thank you for everything that Christ did, and then it's a list of everything that Christ did, and then all the theological nuances and the atonement, and it's just like, oh, come on. Like, my burger was good. Now it is a gelatinous mess because you've been praying for so long.
Well, that's because you didn't order bison, but that's another topic.
Dude, that's what like Reformed seminary guys yes. have to do when they're of that certain age where they got to like show how much they know all the time.
Watch, yes. Ronnie, are you going to be at the Gospel Coalition this year?
Yes.
All right. Well, look around at the restaurants in Indianapolis when these Reformed groups of cronies get together. Somebody is going to pray until the food is gross. You will see it. It's going to happen.
Oh, dude.
And it's going to they're going to pray Grudem systematic theology over that meal. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, their heads are going to be down, and you're going to walk out of the restaurant after finishing your meal, and their heads are still going to be down.
Yeah, and you will have enjoyed your meal, and they will be, you know, maybe they're not allowed to enjoy food. I don't know. Maybe that's too hedonistic.
Okay, here's the thing, man. Let's do a little qualification. Obviously, we're not against prayer before a meal, guys, but well, I think
I'm moderately
needs to be
before meals.
Well, you know, I mean, just like do it. I think it's okay to say it. I think it's okay to really just acknowledge the fact that, you know, God is in our presence. We're glad to be here gathered together as men, whatever, women. And it's like, let's just – that's okay. You know, I mean, it's like
– whatever women. It,
right? Whatever women, whatever food, whatever men. You know, like that's okay. But like, yeah, to make it a theological dissertation just feels a little funny to me. And I think we've all sat through enough of those to where now you just it's almost like – I mean, can you guys relate to this? It's almost like when you're out with three or four guys that you've really never been out with, I'm always a little like, oh, man, how is this going to go down? Like you're almost like you're dreading the worst, and it's not even – you shouldn't even – like you should be excited. You should be glad to be there. You should be looking forward to your meal, and yet there's this tentativeness, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, I have a coworker. This will be my last on it. This is what I would encourage people to do. He's the best because he sits down, food comes, he looks at everybody and goes, I'm thankful. You thankful? And we all say, yep. And then we start eating.
That is sacrilegious.
Done is done. I'm thankful. Are you thankful? We are. Let's eat.
Wow. T, you've been pretty quiet on this one, man. Why don't you give us some closing thoughts
on
this gig?
While we're talking.
Are you eating without praying?
Boys, I'm thankful that we have come to the end of another great episode. I'm thankful that we can do radio together. And I'm thankful that if we all do go to dinner together one day, the three of us, this is a big dream. We will all banter appropriately with the waitress, but not creepily. And we can just dig into our food. Let's just get that out in the open now. So lest there be any confusion.
Are you thankful?
Big T, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, if we are ever together, I'm going to pray for a half an hour. I'm going to pray for the waitress for 20 minutes. I'm going to say her name 96 times, and we're going to be like best friends by the time we walk out of the restaurant. I'm going to do everything that we just said we'd never do.
You know you'll be better friends for
it. You know who won't be best friends at that point? the three of us. That's who. But it's okay.
You know, we just need to record that for the rat.
You made a new friend and probably a convert too.
Guys, that's what we need to do. We're going to go out to dinner and record the dinner for one of the apps. Ooh, how epic would that be?
I love
now
that.
We're talking. Now we're talking.
That sounds better than praying for 17 minutes.
That's good radio. That may be better than last week's episode, which is Ronnie picking his bracket.
Yeah, I think everything's going to be better than that last episode. So,
oh, boys. Come on, Big R. You enjoyed it. You enjoyed being one of the boys talking sports.
You were a good sport about it, mostly.
Welcome to Mahane. Welcome to Martin Sports.
Martin Sports. Martin Sports. Just one of the guys. Just a down home Midwestern guy.
Down home Midwest guy talking about football and soccer.
Because that's what Midwesterners do.
We have wandered to and fro as we always do through this episode. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.